blessed us with materially. In fact, everybody sitting in this room, we have been provided for and we have been blessed far beyond what we deserve. I was again reminded of that. If you guys had seen some of the things that Allison and I saw last week, it would break your heart. But we have been incredibly blessed, and we should thank the Lord for it, and we should be filled with gratitude. But you know what? There is more to be thankful for than just the material blessings that we have. In fact, even if those material blessings were not there, we would still have much to be thankful for. And I know I say that, and automatically, all of our minds, we automatically say, oh, yeah, you're right, I've got salvation. Yes, we have salvation, and we should be so thankful for the cross of Christ. We should be so thankful for the sacrifice that He made and the fact that our sins are forgiven. And then you say, yeah, but it's more than that. We have a home in heaven. That one day, as Charlotte and Diane just sang, and as Lisa just played, that we're one day we're going to wake up and we're going to have a spot where we're going to be in His presence. Yes, I'm so thankful for that. And you know what? We ought to be. We've got to be filled with gratitude. Material blessings, forgiveness of sins, home in heaven. Oh, man, if that were all we had, that more than enough. Filled with gratitude, more than one holiday could ever express. But the passage we're going to look at this morning, it's more than just those three things. It's more than just that. Let's look at this. Now, you need to know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole chapter is about the resurrection. The whole chapter describes the resurrection. The first half of the chapter describes the resurrection of Christ. In fact, you can go back, look at verse 19, chapter 15, verse 19. It says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most to be pitied. That if Christ was not raised from the dead, then we're still in our trespasses and sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our hope for forgiveness, man, it's lost. So the resurrection of Christ is super important. Then the rest of the chapter, beginning about in verse 20, where he says, now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep, meaning us. The rest of the chapter describes our resurrection. Oh, wait a minute, you think, well, what do you mean our resurrection? Did you know that because Jesus is raised from the dead, what that means is that we also have new life. That we have a place in heaven where we will see His face. But we have new life now. That we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Our sins are forgiven, but we have new life now. Drop down verse 42. Let's look real quick at the description of this resurrection that we have. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead, meaning ours. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. And if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Here's his point. The Holy Spirit is pointing out. Chad Brady, you're living in a natural body now. And Chad Brady, that natural body is defined by its perishableness. Man, I'm about to turn 40, y'all. And some of y'all are thinking, if Dan were here, Dan would say, quit bragging. But listen, y'all going to think I'm being facetious when I say this, but I'm not. But man, the second half of the 30s has not been kind to me. I now wear glasses, and I realize it only, man, I hadn't even begun. I realize that. I can't run anymore. I mean, but what happens to our bodies? You know what happens to our bodies? They perish. They perish, don't they? And they perish long before we die, right? They decline and they decay. And you know what? If I live long enough, this body's going to hurt me. It will. You know, and we know this. You're living in a body that is perishable. It's not good. And so he goes on from then. It's not just that it's perishable, but look at verse 43. It's sown in dishonor. You know what? It's not just that your body is gonna hurt you physically, but your body is going to lead you into sin. It's dishonorable. Your flesh that you're living in is weak. That's another one of the phrases that he uses. It's weak. It's dishonorable, and it's weak. Your body, you will never escape sin as long as you are in this body right here. Never. Now, take just a minute to grasp that for a second. Never. This side of heaven, you will fight it always. You are living in a dishonorable body. He keeps going. Sown in weakness, it's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Here's the great thing about it, that we're living in this natural body that's perishable and dishonorable and weak. But it's not always going to be like that. Praise the Lord. Drop down to verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We got a problem. We got a problem. That the body that we live in now, here's what he's saying in verse 50. The body that you live in now, it cannot enter the presence of the Lord because it is full of sin. And will be, always will be. Now, there's a difference between confessed sin and unconfessed sin. You guys know that, right? You might be saying, well, we're all sinners. Yes, we are all sinners, but there is a drastic difference between a repentant sinner and an unrepentant sinner. Y'all know the difference? Y'all see the difference in that? Even if you are a repentant sinner and you hate sin, that's the mark of a true believer, by the way. Y'all know that. The mark of a true believer is what you do with sin when you see it. True believer sees sin in his life and hates it. Hates it. Confesses it for what it is. And fights it, makes war against it. An unbeliever, though, sees sin and will make excuses for it. An unbeliever will see sin in his life and try to find a way to justify it. It's okay. There's a drastic difference there. But the fact of the matter is, I'm still a sinner. So this body that I live in, man, I can't get away from it. There is no way that God is going to allow this body, this Chad Brady, into heaven. Something's going to have to change. Keep going. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He repeats that phrase twice in verse 51 and 52. He says, we will be changed. Let me tell you what he's talking about there. The Holy Spirit is assuming that once you've read verse 50 and you read that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that you are going to be dissatisfied with the way you are now. The Holy Spirit is assuming that you're going to read that and you're going to look at yourself and you're going to go, oh man, he's right. He's right. And you know what? We don't have to work this up. We don't have to ponder this very long to come to that conclusion. I want you to think for just a second. I want you to think back over the years. You know, I could stand up here, and let me tell you something. I could tell you a lot of stories of stupid things that I've done. And I'm not even talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about just dumb things. Not sinful things. Just dumb things. Have y'all experienced this? About 2 in the morning is when all of those embarrassing thoughts come back up to your mind. And you're like, man, I need to be asleep. But you're going back through it like 7th grade stuff. And you realize, man, that, you know what? 7th grade and college and then seminary and then early marriage years. And I began to get the feeling, man, what, Chad Brady, it's not too good. And not only am I fighting sin, but I'm just inadequate. That my body is weak, dishonorable. That we're just simply inadequate for what God has given us to do. Do y'all know that? Y'all know that you, what God has given you to do, you are completely inadequate to do and incapable of doing. 100% completely inadequate. You know, probably the greatest responsibility I've ever been given, and I'm being transparent with you guys. One of the reasons why I'm coming to this passage this morning is because this is a passage that the Lord has really used in Allison in my life here very recently. Greatest responsibility I've ever been given is to be a dad of now 4 children. And I look at my body and I look at the brain that I have, and I am completely inadequate. Completely. And I know, God, if this is all I've got, then we're sunk. And you need to know, just as your pastor, listen, if Chad Brady is all you've got as a pastor, man, go home. We're sunk. And the Holy Spirit is assuming that when you read verse 5, you are going to be completely dissatisfied with who you are naturally. And you're going to realize how desperately dependent you are for something more than what you've got. Because he says, we can't do it. But here's the good news. We will all be changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a mentality that's pretty prevalent in the world that basically says, you're stuck with what you got. I mean, look, some of us have it and some of us don't. You can try. I'll give you a practical example of what this looks like. They say practice makes perfect. That's not true. You know what? I played football in high school, And I could practice and practice and practice and practice, and I would never be NFL material. Not ever. And it didn't matter what I did. I just didn't have it. No amount of practice was going to make me NFL material because I didn't have it. And so you just don't have it. So you're stuck. And you know what? The fact of the matter is you guys are sinners. And so there is a mindset that would say, you got what you got, and you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. That's what we tell our kids. And so you're stuck. But here's what God's Word comes in, and God's Word says you're not stuck. God's Word says, yes, you're right. You're completely inadequate. You aren't ever going to be NFL material on your own. But you will all be changed. That you're not stuck where you're at. You're not stuck with what you have. You are not stuck, sinful, dishonorable, and weak. You are not stuck there. Because we will all be changed. Let's keep going. Verse 53, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know what? We've got to be changed. God can't leave us like this and see us face to face. God can't leave Chad Brady the way that Chad Brady is and for Chad Brady to think that one day I'm going to wake up in glory and see my Savior's face. So I've got to be changed. He's got to change me. Verse 54. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? When that happens, when the day comes, and we stand complete in Christ. When Christ and His life has completely replaced Chad Brady. And I stand before the Father justified, just if I'd never sinned. On that day, we will look back. This is, by the phrase here, when this will have happened, that's a past perfect phrase, meaning past completed action. When this will have happened. So when we stand before the Father complete in Christ, meaning that Christ has now completely replaced the old Chad Brady, we will look back and we will say, see, death, you lost. Man, because right now, I'm looking at a bunch of death. I'm looking at a man who is completely inadequate. But I know there's coming a day where this death, the inadequacy that I have now, it's not going to win. It's not going to win. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin. Where does death get its power? Sin. Sin produces death. The fact of the matter is, I'm not like Christ. And you know what? The more, though you may try as hard as you can try, you're still going to see frustration. You're still going to see unchrist-like selfish attitudes. Though you may try, you're still going to see sin in your life. Now, the difference is going to be what you do with it when you see it. But you're still going to see it there. You're still going to be reminded, oh, shoot. I'm not who I should be. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. God said, hey, here's my standard. And we can't meet it. We can't do it. I want to stop right here for just a second, and I want to point us out, I want to point us to a principle that we see. In Philippians chapter 1, this is what it says. It says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. till that day. Now, let me point out what that means is. What that means is that this work of perfecting us, this work of completing us, this work of replacing Chad Brady with Christ, it's already begun. And he is working it toward the day when it will be completed. And so this work has already begun. It's not finished yet. He's already at work in our lives. We're just not finished yet and not going to be finished until we get there. But we know one day he will be finished and I'll be complete standing in front of him. But right now, man, I don't want to be Chad Brady anymore. I want Christ. Look at what he says. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But I look at Chad Brady, we look at ourselves, and we think, man, what hope do we have? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. This week is Thanksgiving. And as we are considering, and we're going to consider this week the material blessings that God has given us, and we should. But you know what? As we consider, even as we consider the material blessings that God has given us, you know what that should do in our hearts? That ought to produce in our hearts, man, the absolute certainty that all this stuff, I didn't get it. I'm not able of producing that. I'm inadequate to manage that. I am weak, too weak to be responsible for that. I can't do it. What God has given me to do, I can't do. But thanks be to God, and this is where Thanksgiving comes in, but thanks be to God who has given us the victory. That I'm not, this is not all I have. That Chad Brady's natural ability, man, praise God, that's not all that I have. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Naturally speaking, all we have is weakness and sin and death, but God gives us victory. That's something to be thankful for. Now, before we move to verse 58, at verse 58, he then comes back, the Holy Spirit, and he says, therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you got to ask, what's it there for? You see therefore, you ask yourself, what's it there for? It's there for the Holy Spirit to show us now, okay, what difference does this make in my life? Okay, I'm encouraged. I'm not stuck with just what Chad Brady has. God is here. God is at work in my life. God gives me victory over the mess that Chad Brady would make. What does that do? What difference does that make in the steps that I take? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable. Stop right there. Why would you have to tell somebody to be steadfast and immovable? Why would you have to tell somebody that? You would only say to somebody, hey, you need to be steadfast. You need to be immovable if the temptation and the pressure was to move, to not be steadfast. And here's what's happening. When we look at myself, when we look at my natural inadequacies, when we look at my natural weakness, you know what I'm tempted to think? Man, I probably ought to just throw in the towel now before I mess this thing up. What good am I doing anyway? This is too hard for me. This is too difficult. It doesn't matter what you are given to do to serve the Lord. And listen, your service for the Lord, that may not be in these walls. Are you going to work tomorrow? You're serving the Lord. We do our work heartily, not as unto man, but as to the Lord. Are you going to school tomorrow? Uh-oh. Are you going to school tomorrow? Guess who you're doing your homework for? It's not for your teacher. No, it's not. It's for the Lord. Are you going to a family meal this week?
Whoop, uh-oh.
Guess who you're serving? You're serving the Lord. And so whatever it is that He has given you to do to serve Him, keep at it. Be immovable. Be steadfast. Regardless of how bad it seems, regardless of how inadequate you think you are, regardless of what has happened in the past and the mistakes that you have made in the past, if it's sin, you deal with the sin the way that it needs to be dealt with. But I can tell you a lot of things that weren't sin, but were just stupid that I did. Regardless of how bad it's gone, you keep at it. Be steadfast, immovable. See, the circumstances will push us off of the track that God has put us on. And we'll say, I don't even want to deal with that now. But He says, you be steadfast. You keep at it. Keep doing what God has given you to do. Take another step. Keep serving. Go to the family meal. Don't avoid it just because it's hard. Address that issue that you've had. Don't avoid it just because you're just done with it. No, address it. Talk. Get up the next morning, and though you've been dealing with this issue for 3 weeks, deal with it again. Show up to Sunday school when your class, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night, you got some rascals in your class and you don't even know whether when you're getting through to them. And that's just the adult classes, right? Keep going. Keep teaching. Keep serving. Be steadfast. Be immovable. And watch this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you had to say that your life was full of one thing, would it be the work of the Lord? If you had to say that your life was abounding in something, what would your life be abounding in? Is it the work that God has given you to do? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what? If you are a parent, it's a challenge sometimes to wake up every morning and think to yourself, okay, today is the day that I get to serve the Lord in my family. What I'm about to go through today is serving the Lord. Man, what a joy. What a joy it is. I get to serve the Lord like this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I am not adequate for the challenges that I know I'm going to face today. You're doggone right you're not. And if you ever thought you were, you would be way out of place. But you're right, you're not. But thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. It's exactly where He wants us to be. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now watch this. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You know what, there are some of us sitting in here today and you're wondering, why in the world am I putting myself through this? Because it is all work. It's all work. What in the world, what is actually coming out of this? I'm wasting my breath. No, you're not. You keep at it. You think, I'm inadequate. I don't have what I need, but thanks be to God who gives me the victory. And so I keep at it, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Knowing what? Knowing that your toil is not in vain, that there is coming a day when you will stand before the Father and your inadequacy and our sinfulness and our weakness will be replaced with Christ. The old Chad Brady will be complete and it will be Christ's life standing there before the Father. And on that day we will look back and all of our toil then in His presence will be fruit. And we will see, oh yeah, God did use that. I can't believe that. I had no idea God was doing that. Man, I didn't think anything was coming out. You mean, God, you did that through this? I didn't see that. But He will. Knowing that your toil is not in vain. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. Not because you have the adequacy, not because you have the strength that you need. No, but because you know, thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. Man, that's something to be thankful for. The stuff that we see around us, we'll blow it, guys. We will blow it in a heartbeat without Christ. But because we have Him, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So now I can be steadfast. I can be immovable. I can always abound in the work of the Lord because I know my toil is not in vain. Man, that's something to be thankful for. Something that I'm thankful for. Father, God, I praise You for this passage. I thank You even for the way that You have used it to encourage me and my family. And God, I pray, God, I ask You. I pray that You would show us our need. I pray that You would show us our desperate dependence on You. God, and I pray that You would show us Your goodness. I pray that You would show us Your promises, that You will change us, that You are making us new. God, I pray that You would fill us with hope that one day we will stand before You complete, that we won't always be like this. God, I praise You for that truth. Thank You, Father. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for freeing us. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, and maybe it is that you are here this morning, and you recognize your sin, you recognize that there is a problem, and all along you've been trying to overcome it in your own power, and what you really need is not to try harder, but what you really need is simply to trust, simply to look to Christ, and trust that He did what you could not. And if there has never been a time where you have trusted Christ and His death on the cross and His new life to save you, I pray that you would come talk to me about that. I would love to share more about what it means to trust Christ as your Savior. Brothers and sisters, listen, maybe it is that you are in either one of two places. Either you are completely depressed because you feel inadequate, and you need to recognize what the Lord has done and be thankful that He gives us victory. No matter what it is that you are facing, He gives us victory. And you need to rest in that. Throw your anchor into that truth and just hold on right there. Thanks be to God who gives us victory. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum, and maybe your heart is pretty proud right now. And maybe things are going pretty well, and you're pretty confident that you got it. And you need to recognize now and that you desperately need him. And I would implore you to recognize that now before he has to teach you that he needs that you need him. And he will do that. Recognize it now how badly, how desperately we need him to give us victory. Because we are not adequate. This whole body, it's perishing, it's dishonorable, it's weak. That's all we got. Recognize that now. So whether you're on the too low end or whether you're on the too high end, listen. Let the Lord do his work. Let him encourage you with the truth of what he does. Let him bring you in, show you his power, and show you our need. Let him do his work this morning. Let's stand as we sing.